Good morning and welcome. Welcome as we celebrate God's presence in our hearts and in our lives. If you hadn't been aware, it's not that BJ has said, I'm never ringing those bells again. It's just that the bells have traveled and they're being refurbished so that they'll be back and fresh and new for the Advent season and the Christmas season. So thank you, Mickey, for playing the bells over there. Yes. And we want to remind you about the church picnic. It'll be next Sunday following our worship service. Are there any other announcements that I am missing? Okay. It is National Hug Your Sweetheart Day today, so hug your sweetheart. Let us breathe in and receive an even greater measure of God's love, God's saving sustenance, and breathe out anything that does not serve God's willful plan for love. Please pray with me. Sovereign God, we often forget important truths and lessons the past offers us, devalue the relationships brought to us, and misuse the power given to us. Help us to live in truth, with integrity, and for peace. May love and compassion guide us in all our actions and interactions. Amen. Beloved, let us receive the grace of God and the power of being in community. Let us proceed in the newness of life as the one who loves us draws us from the threat of the depths and into the hope of a blessed future. We are transformed through God's love. Amen. And let us share together one expression of our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And let us offer to one another some sign of Christ's peace and love. Peace be with you. This morning, I did not receive any cards, but just in talking with some of you, I know that we want to keep students who have just gone back to school, particularly those in college that are understanding that it can be a little rough. And so prayers for those students who are making the transition from high school to college and having to put up with wackiness and foolishness of other students the same age, and pray for those wacky and foolish students as well. Also for our Shaler students as they go back to school tomorrow, most of them, and for administrators, principals, aides, teachers, students, and their families to be aware of the love that is surrounding them as they go back. Also, Pastor Tom, he flew out to LaGuardia on Friday to officiate at a funeral yesterday, and he was to return home last evening so he could preach this morning in Aspinwall, but his flight was what is it called when they move it? Delayed? No, it was rerouted. It was rerouted to Harrisburg, and so all through the night, it was not going to happen. And he had to spend the night in Harrisburg last night, still trying to figure out how to get him home. So Pastor David Wood is going to preach at Aspinwall today. And as you can imagine, it's just been a wacky time for a pastor. And keep all travelers and pastor in your thoughts and prayers. Anyone else? Is there anything else anyone would like to share? Let us come before God then in prayer. God of us all, we gather on what many of your churches have named the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. It is also Buttered Corn Day. It is also a day for which we are thankful. We are thankful in so many ways. Just the gift to laugh and to learn, to receive and to give love, to be your body in our specific places and time. And this is also a day in which we carry many worries and sorrows, concerns for your people and creatures all over the world, for our country, our family, the people we love. And as we navigate the complexity of being human, being made in your holy image, and bearing wounds and scars as you did when you came in the person of Jesus, help us, O God, to be attentive to your presence in all things and through all things. Spoken and unspoken concerns we lift, knowing that your love is already moving. We pray for college freshmen and students of all ages. May they feel heard and seen and loved. May they feel safe. We pray for those awaiting news from families and friends far away. We pray for those in war-torn spaces and places near and far. And we lift up to you the joy of new starts, one indeed every moment we have. God, we lift our hands up to you, perhaps as if when we were a tiny baby. Hold us, God, hold us close. And may your Spirit move mightily in us as we pray and work, so that your kingdom of love and peace will come on earth as it is in heaven. And we lift this up to you in the name of Jesus, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to rise in body or spirit and sing together, You, Lord, are both Lamb and Shepherd.
Good morning. This morning's scripture is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, starting at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they said, Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, But who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him, Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. A reading of the word.
Please pray with me.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have a question, and I know not everybody's cup of tea is to shout out an answer, especially because you might think I'm going to judge your answers, but I'd love to know your thoughts. The question is, who is Judy Garland to you? Dorothy, okay, all right, good answer, good answer. Anything else? An actress, yes, yes, very good. A great singer, even better, yes. All right, now since you asked me, and I know you didn't, but I'm going to tell you anyway. But so if you asked me, who is Judy Garland, my answer is complicated. Because when I was a kid, Judy Garland was just the lady who played Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz. And then when I was a teen, I saw that movie with Liza Minnelli and Dudley Moore, Arthur. It's fantastic. It's very funny. And then Judy Garland was Dorothy, and she was also Liza Minnelli's famous dead mother. And on the morning of Friday, March 10th, in the year 2000, I was preparing and dreading to see Lorna Luft perform at Heinz Hall. See, this really sweet lady from the Baptist church where I was the pastor at the time, she was dragging me to see Lorna Luft perform some kind of show called Songs My Mother Taught Me. So that morning, Judy Garland was Lorna Luft and Liza Minnelli's dead mother who played Dorothy. But that night, as I sat in the grand box at Heinz Hall, during that concert, the way that I defined Judy Garland changed forever. Now, she's still all of those things. She's a dead actress and a singer. She was Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz, the mother of Liza, Lorna, and don't forget Little Joe. But for me, she's something more. She's an inspiration to me. She's a voice that has comforted and encouraged me. She's somebody whose life story, I've been to her birthplace 5 times. I mean, come on. I mean, they've accompanied me through different parts of my life. My answer is complicated. My answer has changed and developed. And it's probably going to keep changing and developing, not because Judy Garland changed, but because my relationship to her has changed. The disciples are asked a couple of questions in our story today. Jesus wants to know what other people are saying about him. Who do people say that I am? And it's easy. They know the answers. They know what people are saying. Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, a prophet. And if we were to say, who do people say that Jesus is? Who people been saying Jesus is? Well, that's easy. We have lots of answers. We could open our Bibles. We could pull out theology books. We could recite the Apostles' Creed again. I could impress you or bore you by reciting the older Nicene Creed by heart. We believe in God and Lord, one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, one in being with the Father. There are lots of answers that Christians have given to the question, who is Jesus? But then Jesus asks another question. Jesus says, and who do you say that I am? And that's an even bigger, more beautiful, more complicated question. Because if Jesus asked me that question, I could share the creeds. I could tell what I learned in seminary. I could tell you what theologians have been saying for the past 2,000 years. I could give you historical information about the person of Jesus of Nazareth. Those things, they matter to me. But they wouldn't be my only answer. Because facts and creeds tell us about someone. But when we have a relationship, the relationship begins to tell us who they are to us. And I don't think that question, who do you say that I am, is a one and done question. Because it wasn't for Peter. Yes, in our story today, Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And Peter is right there, and he says, you're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God. And it's almost like a game show. Peter, the big winner. You got it, Peter. Finally, you're even going to get the keys to the kingdom. Except, in that moment, Peter had the right words, the right answer. But he doesn't even fully understand his right answer. He still isn't finished discovering what those words mean. Because just a little while later, Jesus is going to give more details about what it means to be the Messiah and how he's going to be handed over to the authorities and killed. And Peter's going to say, no, we're never going to let that happen. And Jesus is going to call him a stumbling block and say, get thee behind me. And after Jesus is arrested, Peter's going to deny even knowing him 3 times. And even after Jesus dies on the cross, Peter isn't sitting around calmly saying, don't worry, everybody, resurrection is coming. Peter doesn't understand yet. Peter knew Jesus. Peter loved Jesus. Peter followed Jesus. And he even had the right words about Jesus, but his answer was still unfinished. And maybe none of us have finished discovering what our answer would be. This week, I sat and I tried to answer this question, who is Jesus to me? And I realized that my answer has changed over the years. When I was a child, Jesus was the white man with the brownish blonde hair and the blue eyes, and he loved all the children of the world. And that was Jesus. And Jesus was also a baby at first in a golden fleece diaper. And that was Jesus. That's what I knew. And then when I was in my early teens, I got to know a person at work at the library, and she told me what she believed that Jesus was. And so I came to see Jesus as the sacrificial lamb. Jesus as the only way to make peace with God. And you had to say, Jesus' blood was shed for my sins. I saw Jesus as a peacemaker between me and an angry, angry God. And that really tripped me up, I gotta say. It hurt my heart because my mom, who was further along in her walking in this world, she would say, why is God so mean to require that? And I'd get angry and I'd get confused and I thought, well, this is the absolute answer. No, Jesus, yes. But I kept on walking. I kept on walking with Jesus. I kept on learning about him. I kept studying him. I kept praying. I kept asking questions. And my understanding has grown. It's deeper in some places. It's broader in others. And it's still changing. And if today Jesus asked me, who do you say that I am? I would say, you are still the child born in Bethlehem. You are still fully God. You are still fully human. You are the one who fed hungry people and healed hurting people. You are the one who welcomed people others sent away. You are the one who died for love and rose again. You are the way that I connect to God. I would say, Jesus, you are all the things I can describe, and you are all the things that I can't. And I was sharing that with somebody who's married, and she said, you know, it's kind of like my husband. And she said, it's really no different than asking, who is your husband? And we talked about that a little bit, and she said, think about it. And so I ask you, think about your husband, your wife, your child. Your husband was once just a good-looking guy with a great sense of humor that you thought was kind of cool. And then he became your friend. And then he became your fiancé. And then he became your husband. And 10 years, 20 years, 50 years, my husband means something it couldn't have meant on your wedding day. The person doesn't have to change for the relationship to deepen. The more we live life together with each other and live life together with Jesus, through the ordinary, through the joys, through the disappointments, it grows, it broadens, it deepens. And so I invite you this week to sit for a while with that question Jesus asked Peter. Not what does the church say about Jesus, not what did your Sunday school teacher say, not what does Pastor Ng say. Jesus says, who do you say that I am? And don't worry if your answer isn't complete, because I don't think there is a complete one. Peter got the words right, but he had a lifetime ahead of him to discover what those words mean, and we do too. Who Jesus is isn't just something to answer, check off, and put away. It's a question we live. Who is Jesus today? Who might I discover him to be tomorrow? And 10 years from now, I hope I'll be face to face with Jesus 10 years from now, frankly. But 10 years from now, if I'm still around, I hope that you will ask me, who is Jesus to you? And I hope that I will have more to tell you. Not because Jesus is going to become somebody else, but because I'll have walked with him for 10 more years. And maybe that's what living a life with Jesus is. Walking closely with Jesus, that our answer keeps growing. May we live our lives continuing to answer that question. Thanks be to God.